Welcome to this week's edition of Cold Omaha's High School Hockey Podcast. I am Danny Ryan, joined today by Tony Scott of the Youth Hockey Hub. Tony, say hi.
Hello there.
And Carl East from the, well, how do you say that? USHS, I don't know.
Spit it out.
It's USHSO.
And also known as the message board.
Or the fight club.
Yeah.
Really. One of the two.
Anyways, we had a good week, at least back half this week of games. Definitely a 1-2 matchup that we don't see every year, and some good games that came down to the cities, too.
Absolutely. Let's start with the Eden Prairie Benilde game right off the bat. That was just a...
That was one of the funnest games I think we'll go to this season.
Yeah, it was epic. I had a chance to broadcast the game. So it's different when you broadcast and actually view it or shoot it with a camera like I was doing. When you broadcast, you call the names. You see the names. You have to be completely dialed into every minute of every second of that game. And it was fun to watch. It was fun to watch a kid like Nolan Sullivan go crazy. You know, here's a kid. He's always been, you know, he's best friends with Casey Mittelstadt. And here he's always been in Casey's shadow. And Friday night was his night to come on. It's unfortunate they didn't win because it would have been a great, great story. But on the flip side, Augie Moore is on the other side. Augie's, you know, he's the guy. He's probably third, fourth on the list of all those superstars at Benilde. And he's, you know, scores a big goal to start the game. And then he, you know, is the hero basically at the end and gets the shorty. And
well,
then
that shorty was amazing.
Great.
Yeah.
His shorty wasn't half as good as the play he made to set up Ristow. So,
yeah. Well, and Augie's always been an undersized kid, always growing up, and so that's what, you know, watching him succeed is always really fun. I've known the kid for a long time, so I like seeing Augie play well.
Yeah, I mean, a couple thoughts on this game. It seemed like Benilde was completely in sync in midseason form, whereas Eden Prairie was still really juggling things around. You know, I'm not sure they used the same line twice in the first period, which is constantly changing, messing around with the power play. I don't really like the forwards back on the point, led to a couple breakaways. So, you know, they're much more of a work in progress, even if they may be more talented.
I am so glad you brought that up. I mean, obviously, the Graham, I agree. Why is Michael Graham trying to run the power play at the top?
No.
I mean, it's a nice experiment, Lee, but let's move on. You know,
put Roll or Lieberman back there.
Rail needs to be back there. That kid is unbelievable.
He's good.
Unbelievable puck handler. He doesn't have the big bomb that Nicky has, but that is still
an
effective weapon up there. Put the big three down low. They're going to do so much damage underneath the hash marks. I agree. I watch teams that try to do this, even at the Pee Wee level. They'll put their best guy at the top. I'm like, no. Put him down low and let him score.
It's bad. Okay, let's come back to that game with a full breakdown. Let's start off the week. What game that happened on Thursday? Burnsville Jefferson. Tony, you and I were at this game. Not really much stood out. It was a 2-1 game. Burnsville outshot Jefferson 36-23. Scores by Nolan Sawchuk of Burnsville, Waylon Parrish of Jefferson, Tyler Smith of Burnsville. Not really anything special happened.
Well, I mean, they won the game basically on a lucky goal. And I have quotes to prove that there was lucky. Both of them, Yanni and Eric Otto, said it. Both said, hey, it was a lucky goal. We got the luck in this one. And, you know, that game could have gone either way. Burnsville totally outplayed them the first period and a half. Yeah. And then Jefferson kind of caught up to them. And then they controlled the game in the third period. And I thought Jefferson was probably going to win that. And then they got a lucky goal. And they just kind of went away after they scored.
Yeah, I think that's what happened. Burnsville can grind. Their forecheck was really good in this game and very evident in the first period. They just did not let Jefferson break out. But it goes to the fact that they don't have an elite scorer. Eric Otto is a good player, but you can't depend on him to put that, you know, Brock Besser puck in the net sort of scenario.
No, they don't have that kid. But they're still a team that's, again, the Final Four in that Eastview, Jefferson, St. Thomas, and who's the other one? And Burnsville. Those four in that section at this point, it's just like Carl said on the message board today, just flip a coin. I mean,
how did you
distinguish the ball?
I think you had a good quote. It is like put names in a hat.
Toss a piece of paper around. Yeah.
Yep. One up. It's Jefferson. You could make a case. Yeah. I mean, Jefferson's going to be the hardest of the case of the four to make just because 11-9 loss. I mean, if they beat Brainerd 5-4, you know, if they beat him 5-4, then they're in the discussion. Totally in discussion. But losing to Brainerd 11-9 is just it's you're now an outlier.
Yeah. And so I put them at fourth just because of that and because they lost Burnsville, which is
And Eastview's 4-1 or something like that.
They lost to Rosemount, who is also in this section, so maybe throw them in the picture too. But
who lost to Prior Lake 9-1?
Yeah. Who barely lost to St. Thomas, amazingly. Right. Mm-hmm. Like they didn't lose to the last second thing. So that section 3AA is just a cluster cuss of just I don't want to touch it.
Next,
let's talk about another section game that we don't really want to talk about. Their section in White Bear Lake Hill Murray. There was 4 shorthanded goals in this game where White Bear Lake lost to Hill Murray 5-2. Shots were 28-21 Hill Murray. And the normal people were really on the board for Hill. I'm looking at Sean Ryan, Ronaldo, Bremer, Reifenberger. I mean, these are people who normally score for Hill. This is a game that Hill needed to win, but, I mean, I need to see Hill win a couple more just average games right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and no offense to my White Bear Lake following, but this is not a White Bear Lake team that's worth reporting on. I mean, quite frankly, I mean, this is just a very pedestrian team. And I will say this about the Hill Murrays. And again, I'm not bashing Hill Murrays. It's going to sound like it's bad. This just is not a very good Hill Murray team, and they can beat average teams, but when they get any pushback, top 10, top 12, top 15 type team, they're not going to win.
Yeah.
And we've got Stillwater, beating up on pretty much everyone they're playing so far.
Yeah.
So it's, in the past few years, the team that wins the SEC, they're losing a few odd games that they shouldn't lose. They're scraping by against mediocre teams. They're not doing that. They're winning them all big. So
they're big. They're good.
Yeah, and the SEC might be one of the worst hockey conferences. It might be one of the better football conferences, but the SEC doesn't really give those schools like Creighton and Stillwater, Roseville. It's not a very good, hard test, and White Bear Lake's in that as well. With how good they used to be at least 10 years ago in hockey. So moving on, Tony, I'm going to throw in a game that you went to. I don't want to talk about this game. It's a Class A game, which I'm not bashing.
You're snob.
It's not just a Class A game, though.
You're a snob. Keep going. Okay. All the snobs.
I'm not that big of a snob. I was a Class A fan, okay? But Princeton, Tony, come on.
Princeton beat Monticello, Annandale, Maple Lake. 4-1 on Thursday night. I made the drive up there. It was a beautiful drive to Princeton, Minnesota.
Not a lot of action on the side of the road.
It's a beautiful rink. I'd never been there. They have 2 sheets there.
Wow.
And I got some good shots. Derek Aberson had 2 goals. 1 beautiful top shelf snipe when it was a 2-1 game. Kind of put the game away.
Yep.
I'll say this about 5A. There's not a lot of skill.
Easy statement.
And they are very hardworking, very well coached team. They beat Chisago on Saturday. They are the unequivocal number one in that section.
7-0, undefeated.
Yeah, and that's a good club. I mean, I've seen Apollo. They're not in Apollo's class. Yeah. They're just not. Apollo is besides Breck and. Apollo is the easiest number 3 to rank out there in the Class A.
Yeah.
We saw them. I didn't see him, but I had a writer write for me. He saw Apollo and he says, man, it was just a matter of time before they were going to put Cathedral on their butt. They were just out hustling them, out working them. And it was just the classic blue collar, white collar game. Yeah. The blue collars won out in that one.
Well, and I think if we look at 5A's for sections, it's not the worst section in Class A. I think that
no,
might be.
There's 3 of them out there that are, battling it out right now. And are we going to name them all? I mean, 1A, Mankato West, Northfield, those teams, probably. Those teams can't compete. They really can't.
Yeah.
And then 3A, I mean.
Laverne all alone and even them.
And Laverne on their home ice isn't even beating anybody, which that used to be their calling card. Yeah. When someone would go down there and they get buzzsawed and the SPA beat them and everyone's went down there and beaten them. So.
Well, and I will say this about Laverne, and this might lose all Laverne faithful that like me. I bet $5 last year that they won't even make the tournament, and I collected. Okay.
Wow, I know.
And that's after they were doing that last year. And Jackson Nelson is leading the team, like the whole state in points, or at least close. He's got 27.
This is the mystery with Laverne. I mean, I study this, obviously it's from the youth. their youth teams were not that good when they had Singsavi and all those guys.
Yeah.
The teams that are coming up that had Barron and Beers and Nelson and all these guys, these were good youth teams that were really pressuring teams. I'm just like, okay, this is Laverne's year. I mean, this is the year where Jackson's in 10th grade, Smedra's in senior. Yeah, I mean, senior. This is going to be I'm thinking when I'm looking at my Class A's in the summer, I'm like, this is a team. And quite frankly, they're really, really disappointing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's move past teams that can't compete, the teams that can, and talk a little bit more in detail about the Eden Prairie Benilde game. This was a 5-4 overtime win.
6-5.
6-5, sorry. I'm reading it in front of me, and I still misread it. And then Benilde outshot Eden Prairie 42-26, which was pretty evident in the game the whole way. And really, Benilde got off really quickly in this game into the second period. The first period, I think, was a snoozer by all accounts.
Pretty flat.
Yep.
I was kind of upset that it was like, well, this is a 1-2 matchup with nothing going on. Once Eden Prairie got back on the board with the Michael Graham tipping goal, which might have been the best tipping goal I've seen in a long time.
That was sweet.
He just whapped it. It was like a baseball bat, just donk, and the puck just bounced over the goaltender. It was pretty cool.
It was nice.
And then Nolan Sullivan got on the board twice. We're going into the third period as a tie game, and it really went back and forth. And if it wasn't for Augie Moore's shorthanded goal, and it really looked like that Eden Prairie was going to put the game away on that power play. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they had
Bishop
all
had that sprawling save. That saved the game. Yeah.
Without Augie scoring that goal, I think Eden Prairie easily would have come away with this game and just grinded it out. But what stood out to me in this game is when Eden Prairie's stars were on the ice, and I say Middleset and Graham, it was
and Lawrence.
It was clearly Lawrence is a player. He's a stud. But it was clearly more noticeable to me, at least, when they had the puck compared to anybody else on Eden Prairie. They exerted their will every time they had the puck in their hand. And for me, that was the difference maker for an Eden Prairie team. Depth, for me, is a question mark.
Well, I'd argue against that, Danny. They had some penalty killers. Connor Olson was...
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
trust me, they were shorthanded almost, it felt like half the game.
Yeah,
Connor Olson would play his bag off that game, and he was going to be our player of the game because he was totally unsung. He didn't get any points. I mean, obviously, Sully had the hat trick, but Connor Olson really played hard that game for Eden Prairie. I think he gives him depth. I just don't think that they trust him, you know, because he's not a scorer. He's a hard worker. There's a lot of those guys. Bukowiak's another guy that works
I
really
like
hard, you know. So I think my summary of the game is I think the speed and the defensemen for Benilde are what stood out most. They were so fast.
Yeah.
Lines 1-3, the defensemen, the four defensemen for Benilde are outstanding. They're just a better hockey team than Eden Prairie. But I would argue this, in a state tournament where you get TV timeouts, those two team plays play, Eden Prairie is going to win that game because they have way higher skilled players who can score goals.
And the other big thing this one, too, is that the refs were calling it very tightly.
Yeah.
I would argue too tightly, especially towards the end.
Points.
And I think that played into Benilde's hand more than Eden Prairie's because I think Eden Prairie was bringing the physicality a little more.
Yeah, I mean, let's talk about Hunter Johannes. I mean, some three penalties. I mean, they were, and none of them were timely, and none of them were very, you know, smart
none
either.
None of them were timely. That's a good way to put it. But there were some calls, like there was a blatant kneeing or cross-checking or interference call on Casey Middlestad right in front of Carl and I on the blue line, and then they go ahead and call Eden Prairie on a penalty like 2 seconds later that wasn't even a penalty. There was like missed calls and everything like that. Mm-hmm. It wasn't the neatest game.
I would have to agree with you. I mean, Ken Pauley, like the Charlie Beatty, the guy during the broadcast, I'm thinking they should just put a chair over there by Ken Pauley. And I said, do you mean kind of like a lifeguard chair? And he said, yeah, exactly. Because he was talking over there all game long.
He nearly lost it, which is kind of funny because his brother nearly lost it because he was sitting behind Carl and I.
But that was entertaining.
That was a surprise.
He reads the forum. He knows.
It's amazing how many visitors we got during the game while broadcasting. Come up, people tapping us on the shoulder. I'm like, we're trying to call a game here. We're standing basically amongst the fans. It was tricky.
This was probably the best showing I've ever seen at St. Louis Park Rec Center for a game. And it's not not really the best atmosphere because you can't stare at the other team's fan section. Yeah. And so but you could kind of tell that everybody was there. It was a Friday night game, so not a lot of people had games, and so that was kind of nice. Mm-hmm.
Charlie we started to build a virtual Tumblr during the game, a little Tumblr feed, and we started naming off all the different sweatsuits and jackets from the other teams. It was amazing how many
Team
we
USA
saw there.
Was there.
That was the sled team, by the way.
Yeah. Okay.
You were telling me it was the US-18s. I'm like, wow, amazing.
Well, okay. Why was the sled team there?
The sled team was in Minnesota this weekend.
Weird.
Yeah, I mean, the jackets and jerseys, I mean, Edina, Prior Lake, Moundsview, Wayzata, you name it. It was great to see everybody in the building taking that in. And they definitely got their money's worth.
Yeah, it ended up being a very good game. Started off slow, but I think this says in clear, bold letters that Benilde is the number one team in the state. Yep,
no doubt at this point.
I would say based on their performance, not by the score. Scoreboard, that's basically a tie game and someone won in the overtime.
Yeah.
And it's a flip of a coin still, who's number one and two.
Yeah,
I thought they were the better hockey team.
I think they're, and they outplayed them for most of the game, so that's why I give them the edge.
I agree.
Now let's talk about a team that took Benilde to overtime. In the next game that we'll talk about in Grand Rapids, Lakeville North, that happened on Saturday.
Now, if we had sound effects, we would say Grand Rapids Pimp, right? Right at that point, right?
Bum, 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 bum. Right?
But we don't. So.
Well, yeah, because I am currently wearing a Grand Rapids hat, which you guys didn't point out.
And very loud
with all this orange.
Patrick White sweater, too. Ugly.
And it doubles as a Billy Baker jersey. If
yes.
You didn't know that.
He was my coach at Bemidji State Hockey Camp.
Oh, wow.
Trivia. So,
trivia here for you. Okay, so we'll talk about Rapids Lakeville North. It was a 4-3 overtime win for Lakeville North. Shots, Grand Rapids 28, 26 Lakeville North. But really what stood out is this game was a snoozer from the start, and Tony and I both agree on this. It really wasn't fun, smooth hockey, and that's kind of how Grand Rapids likes to play, but it was still not fun. Alex Adams was still out for Grand Rapids, and he's their top line player on forward, and Henry Ennebeck just got nailed in this game.
But Micah Miller was a clean body check. The other thing, when those two are gone, when you're missing Ennebeck and you're playing on that gigantic sheet at Lakeville North, I mean, it's harder to it's harder to get flow going. It's harder to make things happen. I've yet to see even that Edina. The Edina game last year was a snoozer at that rink, Lakeville North.
It got exciting in the third period because it was a 1-2 punch every time.
Yeah.
But you know, it was a snoozer because the band was there. I hate their band, whatever they put it there.
That band was awesome.
Okay.
I'm glad I got pictures for you.
Well, that's good to know because I couldn't see behind it.
I got some great pics of that band.
Anyways, Ryan Palin got two goals in this game. Max Johnson also scored. I think what stood out to me is Lakeville North is not an elite team like they were last year. Goaltending is going to remain to be an issue. Same with defense. I think, Carl, you pointed that out well in the on your rankings this week. That's what kind of
that question is going to be there, you know, all season long.
Yeah.
It's not going to go away.
I'll say this about Lakeville North, and I saw what I needed to see. They did win. Credit to them. They lost their, you know, the heart and soul of their team is Henry Ennebeck. He's one of their big parts.
Yes.
Big keys to that team. I'll say this. I saw some of the players that are filling in both on defense and up front. I'm not wild. I was less wild with Rapids, to tell you the truth. I think Rapids plays well on their home sheet, and when they go away, and we'll learn a lot about
we'll
Rapids.
We'll learn a lot about
Does Rapids win one? Do they win two? Do they win three? That's kind of a preview to this weekend. Yeah. If they win two this weekend, then they're for real. If they win one, then they're kind of right in the pool with everybody
And we know
else.
Which one that they're going to win. It's going to be Elk, but we'll talk about that in a couple minutes. And for me, I think Rapids is a different team when they can roll two really good lines with Bischoff, Adams, Mattson, because Mattson doesn't stick out without Adams.
Does he stick out
at
ever?
All? No. He's 6'3 and doesn't play like it, and it's kind of frustrating as a Rapids fan, I'll say.
Pamp.
And in the Hay McLaughlin Miller line.
That's line to watch, man.
That's one of the best second lines in the state.
If there's a better one, please stand up.
Well, probably the Benilde, Homer, Horton, who's else is on that line? Gleickel? Or maybe, I forget. But yeah, that's a good line. Okay, let's move on to a North Metro matchup that I was at for the nightcap on Saturday, Elk River Blaine. This was the Riley Tufte show. He's probably one of the best players, if I would argue the best senior right now. He's my front runner for Mr. Hockey. He scored a hat trick in this game. They had to clear the ice because of it. And Blaine won 5-2. What stood out to me in this game is Elk is still young. They have three seniors, and I think one of them actually plays.
So, yeah, and a couple players out with injury, too. Most importantly, Jax Murray.
So. Yeah, without Jax Murray, this team is pedestrian. I think
Jax Murray is the Henry Ennebeck of that team.
Yeah, I think he's a linchpin. This sort of
he
scenario.
Really is good.
But you know who stood out to me, and I tweeted at you, that Jax Purbich.
Jackson Purbix?
Yeah, there we go.
Yep.
I like that kid. He's a freshman. He's a big body. He plays on their second line with Zerbin, and he's a fun player.
He's got unbelievable hands. He's got great hockey sense. He can motor. He can do it all. He's a definite, you know, don't be surprised if in 2-3 years you're talking the same thing you're saying about Riley Tufte.
Yeah.
He's that good.
He's that good. I would agree.
Top 10 freshmen in the state.
He
wouldn't say five is a stretch, but 10 for sure.
He's very pretty to watch right now. I think if this team gets hot behind Myers in goal, I mean, as we saw in East this week, East can't win games. So let's talk about another team that can't win games. Holy Family just crushed and demolished St. Thomas Academy. Even though St. Thomas outshot them 38-29, it was a 7-3 loss, worst loss ever by a St. Thomas team to Holy Family. I have lost all hope in my cadets, I think, and I'm now supporting Grand Rapids, apparently.
Yeah, apparently. So don't worry. Don't fret. I mean, there's so much young talent at the 8th, 9th, 10th grade level that,
yes.
I mean, this is going to be a powerhouse in a year, maybe even sooner. So don't worry. They're young. They're finding themselves. They have great coaching staff.
Yes,
and a really weak section for a long time to come. So I would say the future is very bright for the cadets. It might even be this year.
Well, they might kick us out of Schwann's Cup gold and move us down to Schwann's Cup bronze. But, I mean, it's all relative. I think – what do you guys think? Does this game mean more for St. Thomas Academy season, a 7-3 loss, or does it mean more that Holy Family might be a section final team this year?
It means more for Holy Family. And I think looking at the box score of this game, too, they're starting to get some scoring depth, which has really been the issue for Holy Family the past few years, no depth. And so if they can get some decent balance going there, have a second line that can score, they can do a better job of hanging with teams like Prior Lake, Minnetonka, Eden Prairie in Section 2.
I think they'll give those guys a run this year, but I still don't think anyone's better than
EP.
EP, right, yeah. So it's kind of a fruitless discussion.
Oh, when
those three lines, those three up front for EP are – you know, they're unbelievable.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true. Now let's talk about a good lineup that can't produce in Duluth East. Duluth East loses to Cloquet this week. What was the score on that one, Carl?
It was 4-3.
I told you, Carl, didn't I?
Right.
And then what was the score in the St. Michael Ellerville game?
2-1.
2-1.
No offense, yeah.
Where is St. Michael Ellerville, Carl?
I'm not really sure either. But
straight up 94, baby.
They got a good outlet mall. But
that's all I know. Yeah.
What does this say about Duluth East right now? They're going into a semi-tough week. If you look at the play Centennial, which now looks to be a decent game, and they'll play.
They struggle against Centennial historically. So
And then they play Duluth Marshall. And if you're going to get up for any game, Duluth Marshall, you're going to get up for that game.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was a weird week. I mean, losing to Cloquet, that happens. You know, it's a rivalry game. It's happened a few times over the years, even when there's a big talent gap. So that you sort of understand. But St. Michael Ellerville game, there's no way to explain that one. It just happened.
Yeah, that one's mind boggling, I think, even for us. It doesn't make much sense.
It's just, I mean, really, the best game of the season was the first one against YZ. It's been steadily downhill since, so you wonder what's going on here. But
well, it's not their coaching. We all know that Randolph's one of the best coaches in the state, so it's just a couple of questions.
And it often takes a while for him to whip his teams into the systems he wants. And
took all the way to sections last year.
Yep. Yep.
You know, let's not bash on St. Michael Everville. I mean, their youth program, their youth programs were in state tournaments at Pee-wees and Bantams 2 years ago, 3 years ago.
Yeah.
So this is the same group that finished fourth in the state and third in the state as Bantams and Pee-wees. It's a really, I got to say, St. Michael Everville has underachieved this year for how much talent that they've lost.
I was surprised.
So some of those I'm like, and you know, I talked to Ken Pauley and he says, man, nobody gives St. Michael Everville any love. That's a good hockey team that we beat.
Well, and
7-0.
No, it was like 6-1, but it was like 2-1, 3-1 going into the third period.
Yeah. Well, if you look at, they actually got the benefit of a gerrymandering this year with sections because now they're in 8AA, and that's going to be down for a little bit, and so they could possibly make it to the section finals if they start overachieving.
Yeah, that's a really – there's going to be some good – I would love to go to those section semifinals almost as bad as the 7AA one because that's one's going to be – we don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah,
that's – you know what I mean? Some of these section semifinals, you know what's going to happen, like Lakeville and Farmington for the last 10 years, right?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Hill and White Bear. It's like it's like, you know what's going to happen. That one – you don't know what's going to happen with Bemidji and Moorhead and St. Michael and Brainerd. I mean, nobody knows
how good Brainerd is.
No
one. Yeah, that's you know a question. Okay, Tony, let's take a couple minutes or a couple seconds at least to talk about something else about this week that maybe we saw or that stood out to us before we talk about the games of the week. What stood out to you, Tony?
Well, I talked about him a little bit earlier. I'll go in a little depth. You know, Nolan Sullivan, you know, here's a guy that really deserves a shout-out. He's been – he's a real big, strong, big-body kid. Didn't score a lot of points last year as a sophomore. This year, he's the leading scorer for Eden Prairie. And the other one we talked a little bit to is Augie Moore. I mean, Augie was the heart and soul of that game. He made everything happen. And I'm not talking about just his point production. I'm talking about on that power play, down low behind the cage, he is so skilled with the puck. And it's like he's got four or five different sets of eyes.
He's like a quarterback who's always looking downfield.
He's really good, and that's the advantage they have. He makes those defensemen, because what he can do below the hash mark, it gives Austin and Mayer and Heimbold up top all kinds of time. That was the weirdest thing is it was like Lee Smith was like, yeah, go ahead, you can have it all you want up there. And when they were just like shooting at will from the top, I was like, but somebody put a body on these guys.
Yeah. What stood out to you this week, Carl?
I'm going to give a shout-out to a team we haven't mentioned yet, Hopkins, tying Hermantown this week. Where did that come from?
That was the end of last
week. Saturday.
But it's still worth talking about. Yeah, big shout-out to them because we're not talking about them, and we probably won't talk about them that much, but it's something that's worth addressing. Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't that be funny to watch Hopkins come into 6AA and beat
Benilde
end it? You know, I don't even have him in my 6AA. I have Creighton there now. I should probably remove Creighton after Creighton's done nothing since they beat Matamidi. They beat Matamidi, so I've been giving them the benefit of the doubt.
But didn't they lose to White Bear Lake?
It
was a bad loss, a 4-1, 5-1.
I mean, and Matamidi is not a bad hockey team. No. I watched them. They're really good.
Yeah, and they've been good in Bantams and stuff like that. I think for me what stood out this week is we saw so many scouts at the EP Benilde game, and then they carried over to go to a lot of different games around the state. They went down to Shattuck. They went to the playing game I was at. They went to Duluth East. They went to Bemidji. That stood out to me. This year's draft class for Minnesotans might be better than last year's sort of scenario.
Well, the 98s historically have been really, really good, and you consider how many are at Armor right now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So there's four or five there, right? You have Joey Anderson, Ottinger, Hellickson, Kiefer. That's four there. And then there's those four, and then you have Graham and Tufty, and I mean it's a really deep, deep year. So I could see 7, 8, 9 draftees.
Yeah.
Mitchell Mattson is the guy. I mean, there was 17 NHL scouts at the Lakeville North game on Saturday.
That's a lot of scouts.
And
how many teams are there?
So 17 scouts are there, and I was talking to one of them between periods, and I said, "Well, who are you here to watch?" And he's like, Mitchell Mattson. I'm like, what are you seeing? He kind of is looking left and looking right. You know, because they can't say, the last thing a scout can say is we don't like him, because then that's just enough. But, you know, even Rubes, like the three of us, can tell you that we don't like what we're seeing out of Mitchell Mattson right now.
No, I think he's a fringe Mr. Hockey candidate right now at best. And so that's
Is that top 10? Does he have to get?
Yeah, 10.
Yeah. He makes the top 10. It's basically because he's going to North Dakota.
It's very fringy. And because he's leading a Rapids team that's decent this year.
Yeah, is he leading him in scoring? I think Gavin Hayne probably has more points than he does, at least based on my Twitter
senior leadership.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Senior leadership. Let's talk like
sure,
that.
Sure, I think Alex Adams is their real leader.
Okay, let's talk about who I think is going moving back into the games that will happen this week. My Mr. Hockey frontrunner in Riley Tufte takes on Benilde on Tuesday. This is going to be a good game. I want to see how Blaine's depth matches up against Benilde, and I think that the top scorers of Tufte and Nodderman can actually put the puck in the net against Benilde.
I don't think this one's going to be – I said it last week. I'm going to make my outlandish prediction again.
Okay.
Lakeville North, so I'm going to throw the gauntlet down on Ken Pauley right now. Yeah, I know, exactly. I don't think that Benilde – unless they just – implode, I don't think they'll lose.
No.
This will be a 3-4 goal type affair.
I think so too, actually. Carl?
Yeah, they have the depth to do it. So. Yeah.
I think the depth is what's going to overwhelm them, but you're not going to keep Tufte off the board. I think he'll at least have one or two points sort of scenario. He's got, I think, 13 goals so far. He's a beast.
Yeah.
Okay, we touched a little bit on Duluth East Centennial. Centennial heads up to Duluth East. Anything else to add to this game, really? Duluth East has got to get right their ship.
Yeah. The oil is leaking right now.
Smoke in the cockpit.
Yeah.
I mean, it's bad when Carl drops him out of his top 10. Okay, and then...
And to make matters worse, Rapids loses, so it's like, well, who do you make number one? And it's not Elk River.
I put Rapids
in there, even though I was
by default.
I was not impressed.
Well, talk about a team that we haven't been that impressed with. Wyzetta plays then.
Beat Brecken
Holy
OT.
Family. Yeah, beat Brecken OT, which is a good win.
That's a good win. Yeah.
especially keeping them 2-1 against a high flying Breck team. But I think Wyzetta, this would be a very good win for them.
Yeah. Again, I think Wyzetta is one of those really talented teams. It's defense first.
Mark
Sendin. Goaltending, and Sendin actually got his first goal. Yeah.
Well, I'm not surprised. They don't score.
They just don't.
I think this could be a fun game, but if it's low scoring, favors Wyzetta. If it opens up, it only favors Holy Family. And so that's how I see it.
I'm going to go out on a limb here and pick Holy Family.
I'm going with Wyzetta in that game.
I'm sticking with Wyzetta.
Yeah, I think Wyzetta skates better.
Old school.
I think they skate better, and I think they're deeper.
All right.
And I think they have better goaltending, even if Stauber plays.
Ooh. Ooh.
Yeah. Alex Schilling is better.
Than Jared Moe?
Yeah.
He's been phenomenal this year.
Moe or Stauber, whoever's in that, is Schilling's better.
Okay.
Schilling is my senior goaltender pick. End of story.
Okay.
No discussion.
Don't challenge it.
I won't.
Okay, Friday game, before we get into the Edina Holiday Classic, we got Hermantown, Minnetonka. Hermantown comes down to the city. Last time they came down to the city, didn't go well. They tied Hopkins, another Lake Conference team. What do we see Hermantown doing here? I think Hermantown wins, but I think this is going to be a close game.
I think Tonka's going to win this one.
I think Hermantown has a few things to prove yet. I mean, it has been a terrible start. I mean, they're undefeated, but you could tell they don't have the depth of last year. So it's
I don't really think they care. I mean, I think they only care about one game. And that's the state championship game. That's all they really care about. I'm like, oh yeah, who cares? I mean, they know they're going to make it to the state championship game. Will they win or not? I mean, I never really got the sense when I went up there and spent 2 days with Bruce and their whole team and got to know their team. I never really got the sense that they cared about being undefeated or anything. All they really care about is winning the state championship.
Are they going to even come out of their section, Tony? Because Hibbing's looking good right now. They beat East Grand Forks, even though they were outshot. They have a good goaltender, and Scotty Perunovic.
It doesn't matter. They will not. I mean, I feel sorry for Hibbing because Hibbing is probably the fourth best team in the state, maybe fifth best team in the state. Talk about a great game. Hibbing and Apollo is going to be a great hockey game in January. I cannot wait to see that game.
When is that?
I think it's January 20-something. That's going to be a really good hockey game.
Okay.
Because I really feel sorry for Hibbing. They got a really nice team. They play AA all the way up through their Bantam in their youth program. This is a really good group of kids, especially their junior class. They're not going to beat Hermantown. They're just not.
Okay. That's fair. Now let's talk about the fun games of the week, the games that I'm looking forward to, and at least I do every season, the Edina Holiday Classic, the round-robin tournament that is Edina, Elk River, Eden Prairie, and Grand Rapids. Starting off on Thursday, we have the Eden Prairie-Elk River game. Should be a pretty easy win for Eden Prairie, I would think.
Elk River has a no quit.
They
just don't quit. I would never ever overlook.
And Gordy's a good coach.
I wouldn't overlook Elk River ever. They just work way too hard. Slight edge to them for sure, but and it's just because of the heavy artillery. I mean, it's like, yeah, we'll play our guys and rotate our lines, but when we need to shorten the bench and give you a full dose of Mittelstadt, we will.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll see how healthy the Elks are too.
Yeah, I think that makes a difference in this game if they're healthy. I think, Carl, you told me Jax Murray again separated his shoulder.
Yeah, the third time.
I doubt that he'll be in this a week for these games. But the second game, the nightcap between Grand Rapids and Edina, this game Grand Rapids normally gets up for, but the last time they won, I think Jake Bischoff was a freshman or something like that. So it's been a while for them.
Wow.
But
I'm thinking bell-bottom jeans.
Hunter Shepard steal one at some point.
No, Hunter Shepard came close to stealing one. He was.
Yeah, I remember that.
That was one of the best games I've ever seen by a goaltender performance. Or Kiefer Bellows was just shooting at will, and they still lost in overtime. It was like 70 shots in Hunter Shepard.
But Edina had about a 7 or 8 year run where nobody beat them in that tournament.
Yeah. You know? Well, and let's put it.
Prairie's never beat them in it.
No.
That's crazy. Because Edina, I'm pretty sure, won this tournament in 07 and 06 when I'm wearing Pat White's jersey. He didn't beat Edina.
No.
Which is crazy to think about.
Yeah.
So I see this game probably going Edina's favor, but I think it's going to be closer than it has been in recent seasons, at least. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, it should be a good game.
This is a test tournament for Edina because really they're kind of middle of the pack team right now, and they need to show that they're better than middle of the pack.
They're just, you know, their defensemen are super young. I mean, they don't have again, I've said this a million times. There's no Connor Hurley. There's no Dylan Malmquist to save
Kiefer.
The day. There's no one to save. And Kiefer only played as a sophomore for him, so he really wasn't even a factor when
Didn't he play as a freshman too?
No, he played Bantams as a freshman. They won the state championship there.
Yeah, you're right.
No, he only played 1 year, so he really wasn't a savior for Edina when he was a sophomore. They were just one of many superstars on that team.
Yes.
But what's interesting is there's no one to save the day for that team. They're still waiting for that guy to step forward, and it's not going to be Casey.
I think it's going to be Bram Shearer.
I like Bram. He's a good player, but he's not Connor Hurley. He's just not. Connor Hurley. They've had that guy, and they've had really good defensemen all the time. And I'm not taking anything away from their defense. Yeah. They have Casey Phillips. Clayton Phillips and Peter Tabor. These guys are all sophomores and juniors. They don't have that rock on the defensive line, you know. And it's just not – they're just young, but they're super talented. And they'll be good come February, trust me. They're going to probably get Ben Brinkman back, who's a freshman, who's probably the best freshman. If you want to talk about top 10 freshmen, he's number one. And then there's – everybody else is way behind him. He's coming off a shoulder surgery that he had in October. When they get him back, they'll be that much better of a hockey team because he's big and he's fierce and he's Ryan Zulsdorf on steroids.
Well, and Zulsdorf's a very, very good player. Yeah. So, again, Friday, the games are – the first game is Grand Rapids versus Eden Prairie. I like this matchup. I think this might be one of the better games of the whole tournament. I think
they're all going to be good games.
They're all
Elk River's so nasty and tough. They're never going to just get blown out.
Yeah, you can't write them off. And I like this game. I think the difference maker is going to be the depth on Grand Rapids D is going to be exposed. Stompahar is good, but after that, I have a lot of questions.
Same story as been the past couple of years in Rapids.
Yeah, Dalton Anderson really does not strike me as an elite defenseman. And then it really, State School did not look well at all in the Lakeville North game.
I didn't think he played that bad. I mean, I'm a big fan of his. He was goalie of the year on our site a couple of years ago. I'm a huge fan of Zach, and I just think he needs to get experience playing varsity hockey. I mean, what's this, his second game of varsity hockey? And you're like, he disappointed me. I mean, it's like,
let's give the kid.
He's a really talented goalie. He played really well in the Elite League. I think just give that kid some time. I mean, just like Blake and Gavin, those kids have played, you know, what, six varsity games now? Yeah. They look like veterans out there right now.
Payne looks really good right now.
And I thought Blake finally looks – I saw Blake play varsity this summer up in Duluth against these guys. And he looked a little bit, you know, unsettled. Now he doesn't. He looks like he's completely comfortable. That Elite League was experience this fall was great for him.
Yeah, and I think I like the storylines in this game. I think if they have Adams back, the forward punches in both of these teams is probably going to be very fun to watch. If Adams is back, Lee Smith cannot put Mittelstadt and Graham on the same line because he's got to break that up.
Yeah. He was breaking them up Friday, too. We were broadcasting. We could never put together –
what the lines were.
It was like hocus pocus, you know?
Which I don't think Lee should do.
No.
They should stay together.
They should stay together and just put them out there and just trust that they're going to put 3 points on the board every night. Mm-hmm. And then the last games, possibly some of the more fun ones, we have Elk River Grand Rapids, which is always a brawl and always really close, too.
The great section seating game.
Yeah, and that's what people overlook is this is the third game, and it's one of the most important section games in really the whole state because this really determines who's 2 and 3 most years.
Yeah, I mean, this year could be number one.
Yeah, if Rapids loses and then loses to East, this is, you know, they're SOL sort of thing.
Yeah.
And so then the nightcap between Edina and Eden Prairie, Carl, you put this correctly, Eden Prairie has never won this game.
Never won it.
And they lost in overtime when Kyle Rao was there. I was at that game. I've been at this game most times because usually I was on Christmas break at this point when I was in college. And really, Edina has their number. And even last year was an overtime Malmquist goal, I want to say, if my memory serves me correctly.
Yep.
And so I think this should be a packed house to see this one because everybody in Edina wants to see how good Mittelstadt is. Let's just put it that way.
Well, they definitely came to see him Friday night. Their whole squad was there, and I talked to a few of the players between periods.
Casey was there. They were lined up around the boards.
They were wow, they are good.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, when you don't ever hear Edina kids talk about
complimenting people.
Complimenting? No, I'm not that. But they're usually the ones on the horse, not the ones walking beside the horse. And they're looking up at Casey and Graham going, this is a tall task. But, you know, they're still Edina, you know, and I would like to see this. You know, that's what's going to make this year fun is because if Brinkman comes back sooner than later, because his shoulder recovery is still somewhat in question, he's a huge piece to the puzzle for that team because they get so much more talented on the blue line. And they
if
get
it's later, front. It doesn't matter. If it's later, it doesn't matter if he shows up or not, sort of thing. It's too late.
No, it's no matter what, when he shows up, it's going to help.
Okay.
I'm telling you right now.
Okay. Well, that's really all the games that I wanted to talk about. I think we should be in a good slate of games all week, like every day this week. So even Wednesday, if you're up in the Duluth area and want to check out Marshall versus Duluth East.
First time since 1999.
Yep.
Playing at Amsoil, which would be great atmosphere.
That should actually be pretty fun. But I think I'm excited for the Holiday Classic, and this looks to be a good week.
Well, we will definitely cull the herd after this week heading into Christmas. We'll know exactly. The rankings will be a lot easier to make next Tuesday for me as opposed to this Tuesday. It's going to be way easier because everyone's going to have beaten everyone over the head, and it'll be pretty easy to figure out, especially the Blaine Benilde game. The Blaine Benilde game is going to really tell us what's going on.
With Blaine Ellis.
And then the Holiday Classic and the few other games. You know, the Holy Family. Holy Family beats Wayzata, then we're, you know, it's going to flip the entire table, right? It's going to be great, though. It's great.
4 through 10. Basically interchange all of them right now.
Yeah, I agree. Well, heck, we had a week ago tonight, we had Duluth East as number 2. Think about that. They were number 2 in the state, and now they're number 47 in Carlsbad.
I don't want to talk about them. I don't want to talk. They're next to Sleepy Eye in Carlsbad.
Yeah. Wow. Sleepy Eye. Come on. Let's give those guys some love down there in New Ulm. They can go back-to-back again this year, watch.
Okay, at that, this has been the Cold Omaha's High School Hockey Podcast. Thanks for listening.